Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Brett.
Today is the 10th of February, isn't it? 10th of February?
Yeah, 10th of February.
10th of February, 2011. No podcast last week. I apologise for that.
Or the week before.
We've been busy again.
Yes.
Busy making things better. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Or looking for a job, in my case.
Yes, unfortunately, words got round that Steve comments about how he sits around work all day doing sod all, got back to his manager, and now he's been told he's at risk.
Yes, well, I'll have to catch up with me at some point.
So, if anybody out there needs, has a job going for a... What are your skills again, Steve?
I'm a change manager.
He's a change... So, if you need changing...
I'll make sure that you're the change you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, babies need changing, but I don't think you've been checked by the police, so you need to go and submit for a check.
No, I've got my CRB check. Yeah,
oh, yeah, of course you have.
Yeah. CRB'd up, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's CRB'd, so if you're a baby and you need changing, he can do that as well. I might have a babysitting job for you, mate. I can only pay £5 an hour, but...
Well, that's not minimum wage, is it?
No.
I have to sue you.
Yeah, okay. Would you really go up in front of a court and say, someone wasn't paying me for my babysitting duties?
Hell yeah. It's the principle of the matter.
Right, we're going to try and make this short this week, because there's good stuff on telly. You think I'm joking? No.
I know you're not joking.
Yeah. So, I'm going to just launch into it. I'm just going to launch into it. No, before I do launch into it, I'm just going to say, we weren't fibbing last time we were talking about it. I have got plans. I've put things into place now. I've got a static IP address for my house. And we're going to be doing streaming live podcasts.
Sweet.
Which means Steve's got to turn up on time. And we're going to have to start at a designated time.
There's no problem with that.
And we're also going to be taking live calls as well over Skype. So we're really... It's going to be good. And I want to do it from next week onwards. So,
Oh, we can have our listener base back listening, see how long we've been away for.
Yeah, I know, but we'll see. I mean, people are bound to just want to phone up just to make dicks of themselves or something, surely. We could just get drunk people. We should do it on a Friday night. Okay, I'm going to go first with... It's not a light-hearted story by any stretch of the imagination, but, some people might find it slightly funny. News this week. This was off the Daily Mail.
This is going to be a class story then.
But I'm actually quoting this from somewhere else. An immigration officer, who hasn't been named yet, by the way, who worked for the UK Border Agency, managed to get his wife out of his hair for 3 years by putting her name on the no-fly list.
Good work.
So what she did was she obviously went to go and visit the in-laws overseas. Looking at this, her in-laws lived in Pakistan. He decided he didn't want her back. So he put her on the no-fly list as an immigration official. And for some reason, next time when she wanted to come home... You're still laughing, Steve.
That's brilliant. I love it.
This poor woman's been stuck in Pakistan for 3 years, not able to come home.
Yeah, but that guy's had such a quiet 3 years. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sure it has been. But get this. The only reason it was uncovered, right, wasn't because of some yearly audit of the no-fly list. No, the only reason he was found out, okay, and this may be the irony is rich here, okay?
Yeah.
Basically, what happened was he applied for a promotion within the immigration service.
Yeah.
And part of that application procedure was a background check. And they found out his wife was on a no-fly list.
What a dick.
So, I thought the guy was a bit of a cruel bastard, to be fair, to use his position like that. But the...
it was a terrible abuse of power. Terrible.
You would never do anything like that.
Oh, no.
But it worked out, almost karma-like in that he paid for it in the end. But a sad indictment of the immigration service that you can get put on a no-fly list And you got no. Obviously, it seems there's no grounds for appeal for the woman.
Maybe she didn't want to come back.
Well, it didn't seem that way.
3 years is a pretty long time to be away without raising some sort of question of why am I
but
on
that's
the
what I
no-fly
mean.
list?
I mean, she would have raised a question, surely. She wouldn't have just gone to the airport and said, "Oh, he's put me on the no-fly list. Oh well, I'll stay here." I'm sure she must have kicked off or something. Have you got one? Not as good as that.
Nothing can be as good as that, to be honest with you. I'm trying to find something now. Sorry, I'm just thinking. Literally, just fresh off the press. The MPs have voted to reject prisoner voting.
Oh right.
Scheme.
Okay.
With a massive majority, MPs backed the motion by 234-22. A majority of 212.
So how many? So I'm guessing the 22 were Lib Dems, and everyone else was, you know, maybe a couple were might have been.
Have Lib Dems got that many?
No, they've got more than that. I think. I think they've got more seats than that.
I think they have. Yeah. Yeah. So
did it show a party split at all?
No, it's not on here.
Right. Okay.
It's just given the headline figure.
So what are your thoughts on it then?
Well. To be honest with you, I am going to sound very illiberal here and maybe at odds with our normal liberal podcast, but no, I don't think prisoners do deserve the vote. I think they've lost that right by breaching the laws of the country. Once they've served their time and they're back out on Civvy Street after being in this prison, fine, no problem at all. Whilst they're serving their crime, their time for their crime, then no.
Okay.
I do not believe they should have the vote.
But what about say you've got a prison full of prisoners, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair in that prison, for instance, for the guards to give better treatment to white prisoners than black prisoners?
No, that's what I'm saying. None of them should have the vote, John.
No.
I'm not segregating in any way.
No. But that's my I'm asking a serious question. In the prison.
No, they shouldn't.
Would
be
you be happy if you found out that they were?
No, absolutely.
So, and what, under what grounds would you say that they were being unfairly treated?
Just because I think the fact that racism is abhorrent.
So, you think that discrimination, unfair discrimination, or you know, equality is a fundamental human right?
On matters of race, religion, yes. Race. Not on matters of voting.
Arbitrary line.
I've drawn the line. I've set it out. That's what I'm sticking to. You know me, John. I'm very tolerant. I've got absolutely no problem with the discrimination laws, and I'm quite happy to accept the European Convention on Human Rights. However, I draw the line on prisoners being allowed to vote. I don't see why they should have a say on society when they're not contributing to society. In actual fact, they're taking away from society.
Okay, so basically you're saying, so what the way I'm going with it is I'm saying that voting, I'm classing that as a fundamental right.
I disagree.
Let me finish. Like things like equality, things like that.
And I'm saying I disagree with that, I don't see it as that at all.
Okay, but what happens, okay, so let's pretend we're not in the UK for a moment, okay, right? Say we're in another country, something quite radically different, I know. But you'll see where I'm coming. So say we're in Iran, okay?
Yeah.
And there's people in prison for doing things there which we would not think is illegal.
Potentially.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, it comes up, you know, you want to change the law so that you're not in prison for what we consider as not to be a crime. Mm-hmm. You're denying those people, you know. For instance, a woman is in prison for dressing immodestly in Iran. Now, personally, I think that she should be able to vote so that the law can be changed so that she doesn't end up in jail, or women like her don't end up in jail. So, in other words, that the vote is buying you...
I understand what you're saying.
In this country, say, you know, drug possession, something like cannabis possession, you could end up in prison for that.
Yeah, but you'd have to have a hell of a lot to end up in prison
for that. But you could still end up in prison.
Yeah, you'd have to have a hell of a lot with the intent to supply.
Sure, but what I'm saying is...
The laws of a land are quite clear, yeah?
Right.
In this country, we have very clear, very specific laws. We know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
we forfeit our right to vote by breaking those laws.
No, you're saying that we should forfeit our...
we do forfeit our right to vote by
breaking
those laws.
Currently we do,
yeah. Yeah, and that's quite right.
But the European Court says...
are wrong.
No, I know they're wrong in your opinion. But look, I'm just trying to say... the thing is, I'm just worried that perhaps you're looking at this and it's a bit of more of a kind of emotional thing.
No, not at all.
It's the usual, well, you know, forsake their rights when they break
but
the law.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But
it's not an emotional thing, it's just the way I see it. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they have, and I'm not going to be on the rhetoric of, you know, they took away someone else's human rights when they murdered them. That's not what I'm
saying.
Okay, so
if that's not the reason why, then what is the
reason?
But
it's just the fact is that we've got very clear laws, and we've got, you know...
I would say
whilst voting is a right, it's also a privilege. And if you don't act responsibly enough to benefit or to be part of, to have that privilege... then fair enough. It's like sitting a kid on a naughty step, you know, it's that type of thing. You know, you don't sit them on a naughty step with their Game Boy, do you? You sit them on a naughty step, and they're there, that's their punishment. Once they're allowed off their naughty step, they can have their Game Boy. Same with prisoners. I've got absolutely no problem with people coming out of prison and voting the day after.
No.
You know,
so
no issue with that at all.
Yeah, but look, where your analogy is breaking down there is that you're equating a Game Boy, which is what I consider a luxury, to voting, which we both said is a right. So it's not...
It's a right, but it's a privilege as well. And I think if you're abusing that privilege, you deserve to lose it.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. The Game Boy, in this sense, is a privilege.
So if you abuse your privilege, then you lose your right. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Okay. That's exactly what I'm saying. I do not believe prisoners should have the right to vote.
Okay, so you don't think that voting is a fundamental right then?
I do.
Well, it can't be a fundamental right that everybody...
No, of course. It is a fundamental right for everyone, but...
Except prisoners.
If you choose to break the law, then you lose your right to vote for that period that you're incarcerated.
Okay.
Simple as that.
No, I understand. I know what your position is, but how a universal right is not universal.
Yeah, but no, you're putting words in my mouth. You're taking me down a different route, saying, well, if you don't believe in the votes for this person, how do you believe in votes for that person?
No, I don't know. I'm not going for that. I'm just asking, right? For me, a universal right is something that everybody's entitled to, and the European Court define them. You know,
like
the
I
right
say,
to have families.
Everyone has a right to have the right to vote. Except for prisoners, because they've broken the law.
Right, so you don't think it's a right? You don't think it's a universal right?
Not in that sense, no.
So you think it's only for people that aren't prisoners?
Yes.
Right, okay, so you don't think...
Serving prisoners. People who've been come out... Like,
no, fine.
At all.
No, you don't have to qualify it. So you just don't think...
If
that...
you're in prison, because you've broken the law of the land.
Sure,
Simple
as
that.
I understand. I just wanted to qualify it. So So you don't class voting as the same as other... rights such as equality.
Well, pretty much in that case, yeah. In the case of prisoners, yeah.
Okay, that's all.
You know, the other things such as race, yes. If there's a black prisoner, if there's an Asian prisoner, they deserve exactly the same rights as white prisoners.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I don't see any differentiation between that. I just don't think any of them should have the right to vote.
Okay.
You know, I don't think Asian or black people should have any less privileges in prison than a white person, or vice versa. You know, all prisoners should be treated absolutely equally and fairly whilst in prison.
Right, so as I was saying, you believe in this universal right of equality for people, so regardless of, race, religion, whatever,
yep.
Or sex.
Yeah.
So that's a universal right that you're happy with, no matter what, but you're not happy with, voting or democracy to be a universal right.
Not for prisoners, no.
Right, okay, that's fine. I just want to clarify.
So, let's stick with that a minute, because I take it, obviously, and you're in
favour
of it.
I'm the opposite. I think prisoners should have the vote.
Oh, and why do you think they should have the right to vote?
Because I think it's a universal... Just because I think it's a universal right, and because, the examples I gave, just because you've done something illegal, I think it's a non sequitur.
Where's the punishment, though?
The punishment is you're in prison.
And you're in prison. You've had your freedom taken away from you. Voting is a freedom.
No, I know where you're coming from, and I'm not saying that, I'm not saying it's like 100% consistent, but I think that where there's a case of people are in prison for something that's political, because laws are political at the end of the day, I think that kind of grinds against the freedom of politics. If you're not, like I went to prison, say for, say I went to prison for cannabis use or something. Now, I don't think cannabis use is immoral, and I don't think it should be illegal. And there's a very large population in this country that agrees with me, and they would be willing, maybe, to vote for somebody who would change the law so it would no longer be
But
illegal
then you need to vote for the law change.
before you do it.
Before,
I understand that argument, but what I'm saying is,
because otherwise you're breaking the law.
but what I'm saying is, if everybody, okay, what if it was something?
Yeah, but if everybody decides to go out and murder someone, but and they decide they want the law changed on that.
So hang on. So this is, you're now going for the slippery slope. You
Well,
think that if we give prisoners the vote, they're going to vote for
no,
murder.
that's not what I've said at all. That is not what I have said at all. What you've just
Well,
said.
then it's
No,
absurd,
what
isn't
you've
it?
no, what you've just said, which is equally absurd, is that you need to get a massive group of people to change a vote. If everyone decided tomorrow that they were going to pass a law to say yes, cannabis should be decriminalized and you shouldn't go to prison for it, then we'll pass that law. Happy days. Well, the same for murder. Everyone could wake up
No,
tomorrow.
that's the slippery slope. Is you thinking it? No, I don't think the same for murder. I'm saying is that nobody. You seriously think that people are going to club together and
Of
legalize
course not.
murder? No,
Of course
but
not.
people could club together and legalize marijuana.
Yeah, I'm not just saying they could theoretically club together and do it for murder.
But what's that have any bearing on reality? I'm talking about something that there's a
Yeah,
quite a
there is a
large
movement. Yeah,
movement.
there's a movement.
Okay,
I
I'm just
appreciate
trying to
that.
keep it within the realms of reality, okay? So keep your rhetoric to yourself, all right? With the bloody
Whatever.
murder. Bloody hell. No, but my point is, and I f okay, it's quite hard in this country, and this is why this is like us talking about freedom of speech. I see things in a very idealistic way, and so that's why I was trying to use Iran as a bare example,
Yeah.
because there is people locked up for really stupid,
Political reasons.
yeah? And I think that to say that they should therefore be stripped of their vote.
But that's down to, I totally appreciate what you're saying, but that is
Maybe
down
I'm
to
bad
them.
at, putting
That's
it
down to
together.
them to put the pressure on their government, as a larger movement, as we're seeing now in Cairo, as we're seeing in, as we saw in Tunis, to put pressure on the government to change their hardline stance.
But I just think that, I know what you mean. I mean, prisoners have already been, they've lost their freedom, okay, to do something. Now you could argue that that's a human right in itself that's been taken away from them. So what is taking away one other right, which would be the vote? But I just think that taking away the vote, it doesn't punish them really in any meaningful way.
Well, clearly it does, because it's punished someone enough to go to the European Court of Human Rights to get it overturned.
No. The European Court, it wasn't taken to them and they
No, it was. It was
decided
taken.
on
No, it
it.
was taken by a prisoner, took it.
No.
He challenged the fact he couldn't vote.
Yeah, I know that's what happened. But prior to that, the European Court had already said that member countries should be giving prisoners the vote. And it was only when he took it that it brought it to the forefront. So what I'm saying is the Europeans already thought prisoners should have the vote, and we were just being as
But
you
not every European country does it.
No, and it's just like we were trying to build a DNA database, which the European Court said was illegal, and it was only because of a change of government we managed to get rid of it, because I'm sure the Labour government would have fought tooth and nail to keep that. But staying on topic, I think it's obviously somewhere where we differ, and I'm not heavily into it. You're not going to catch me blogging about how prisoners deserve it. Because, as I said, it is a freedom and it is a privilege. I just personally think it's something that they should have anyway, because they are people, after all. I'm going to move on with this now. MPs query decision to spend 1.85 million of overseas aid cash on the Pope's visit.
Yes, I saw the headline of this. I haven't actually read the full story. But I understand that money which was destined for international aid was somehow siphoned off into another pot to pay for His Holiness's visit.
Yes. Now, apparently, their excuse, I say excuse, they tried to say it was reasoning, I would call it an excuse, was that it was a fair amount of money to use from there because of all the great work that the Catholic Church does all over the world. And I just said bollocks to that. That's just that's really shitty, to be honest.
I absolutely 100% agree with you.
I think that
I think the
cash.
Catholic Church is in a position, if they want the Pope to go and visit foreign countries, then they can quite easily stump up that sort of cash to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, sell a Rodin or something out of the Vatican. But seriously, you know, they can afford it. The countries which are missing out on that aid can't afford it.
No, exactly. The thing about it is this story happened, but I don't know, I think it's just complete apathy. Nobody wanted to kick up a fuss because they just knew nothing was, you know, there was not going to be any result out of this. There's no point crying about it because people were crying about, you know, they've been crying about it for a long time, and the government doesn't listen. So I was quite, you know, disappointed about that.
I'm very disappointed as well. I mean, I'm disappointed, to be honest with you, in the Catholic Church, now that that story's come out, that they haven't reacted to it in some way. You know, the fact is that, you know, the church, with the financial resource which they have at hand, having seen that sort of figure, which has been diverted from international aid, could at least make some kind of token gesture.
Well, yeah, they could have come out and said, well, we're just going to go and give that money to, you know,
Yeah.
some orphan somewhere.
Precisely.
You know, send them to Disney World or something. Shall I carry on?
Yes, please do.
Okay. This was an interesting one. This is going to be slightly more light-hearted again.
Okay.
This is on the Daily Mail again.
Okay.
I went looking for controversy. Not, okay. I have a cunning plan. Farmer facing jail after bid to scare off teenagers by dressing up as a mad axeman and smearing fiance with ketchup. Okay. Have you not seen? You
I
haven't.
haven't seen
See, I
this,
found a
no.
couple of good ones this week. Right. Driven to distraction by yobs repeatedly trashing their farm, John Powell and his fiance decided on a radical response. So basically, John Powell and his fiance Lucy, they have this farm, and obviously these teenagers turn up in the car or whatever, and they've been littering. Now, apparently, according to John Powell, he's called the police, but you know, the police turn up and just move them on, but they don't stop them from coming back or anything. So he took it into his own hands, really. So what he did was he got his fiancée to smear up with ketchup. And then she banged on the window of the car saying, "Help me, help me, there's a mad axeman." He turns up with a fire axe. And so they disappear. So unfortunately, the teenagers, they took fright at the blood-curdling scene. But of course, obviously, the pair came a cropper in the eyes of the law. Now, so far, by the looks of it, he's just been done for wielding a fire axe, having an axe. Fire axe is it like a deadly weapon or something? So obviously having it out and about.
Surely the only thing they could possibly be charged for would be wasting police time. Surely.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this is the thing, these cases always get complicated. So the police are going to do him for, you know, just having the axe maybe out, which you shouldn't have. It's meant
Yeah.
to be under lock and key or whatever, like a shotgun.
Maybe he was going to chop down some trees.
But apparently, these teenagers are claiming some kind of emotional damage because they say he came up to the window and tapped the axe on the window. He says he didn't do it, so this is where all the hearsay comes in. But what do you think of this? I mean, do you think really this guy deserves to be?
Not at all, not in the slightest.
I mean, here's a little.
Couldn't they say they were doing some live action role play or something?
Yeah, I mean, personally, you could be in some real life theatre, you know, so
Yeah, you
that.
could remember the Sealed Knot Society or something like that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if your kids are misbehaving, you send them off to the farm for training, and he
Yeah.
turns out with his axe.
Exactly. No, I think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, obviously he's suffering from antisocial behaviour from these kids. He's decided to take action into his own hands, and let's be honest, he could have taken a shotgun to them, as you know, has happened in the past in this country. But no, he decided to go for a non-violent method, but just to, you know, give him a bit of a shock. Fair play to him.
So you're not going to go with the poor trauma these teenagers have
Oh,
suffered.
good grief, no. Come on, these kids are watching bloody all sorts of horror films with
Saw.
axe murderers, you know, whatever you like. You can't tell me they're traumatized by this. How ridiculous.
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for him. And basically, if it had been dealt with properly, he wouldn't have had to have done it.
Yeah, it's contemptible. It's a frivolous case, isn't it, really? Let's be quite honest.
Do you think... I don't know, but... Obviously, to get rid of these teenagers on a permanent basis, you know, do you think it would have been a heavy-handed thing if the police had used the law to... You know, give him a restraining order or something, or an ASBO that stopped.
Well, that's
him
the point
going.
Of an ASBO. An ASBO is an antisocial behaviour order. Mm. If they're being antisocial, which clearly they were, then that's exactly what it should be used for.
A lot of people think I'm antisocial. You know, I turn up at the
party,
you are
ginger,
drunk. You know, insult people. You know, I'd hate to have an ASBO.
Well, they've been replaced now, aren't they? Anyway, so, but yeah, no, if the right course of action had been taken earlier on, then I think. You know, it wouldn't have got to this point. But, you know, really, what has that guy done wrong? Let's be brutally honest. Nothing.
Hmm. Well, he hasn't physically harmed anybody. You know, I'd argue that, yeah, he might have thought better. You know, it wasn't his idea. Apparently, it was his missus' idea. But he went along with it. But, I don't blame the guy. You know, he's at the end of his tether. You know, he's just fed up.
Yeah.
You know, and... You know, I do feel for him. He shouldn't have done it, but I feel for him.
I don't see what he's done wrong, to be honest with you.
Yeah, just the fact that you got an axe out, you know, it's...
It's a farm!
What do you use a fire axe for on a farm?
Chopping wood!
No, you use a wood chopping
axe. Why would you have a fire axe anyway on a farm? Anyway, let's be honest.
I thought a fire axe was for putting out fires. My random joke of the night.
Yeah, no, you know, what if he'd just been walking across his farmyard with an axe? I mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
I read another article today as well. And this was linked off Twitter, actually. I think it's by Bill Bailey. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, do you?
No, I don't.
Bill Bailey's... I'll say this now. Bill Bailey's good to follow on Twitter because he's kind of random like he is in real life. But also, he doesn't tweet too often. He's not one of those annoying ones where you're just, you know, permanently looking, you know. So every so often, you know, you'll tweet. It's either something funny, a bit random, or it might be a link. Today he linked to his commentary rather than news from Doug Stanhope on offensive comedy. And this is in light of the news of Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes.
Right, okay.
You know, Ricky Gervais was invited to go along and obviously present the whole thing.
Yeah.
Be compare, whatever you want to call it. Where he then proceeded to insult, basically, his clientele.
Yes, he did.
In Ricky Gervais style. As he said, you probably never ever get that gig again, and you probably never get quite a few Hollywood gigs because of it. You know, he took the mick out of Angelina Jolie, Robert Downey Jr. and Bruce Willis, among others.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. You know, the list was pretty extensive, including, like, you know, the directors of the Golden Globes and what have you. It was pretty spectacular stuff from Ricky, to be honest with you.
I mean, I didn't see it. I just saw a kind of compendium of clips. Where
some of the gags were hilarious, in all fairness.
But this, he also mentions in this the what's going on with Frankie Boyle and some of the things that's happened.
It ties in with the Top Gear story this week as well, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But Frankie Boyle basically was in. I wouldn't say he was in trouble. There was complaints made. There was a woman in the audience. He made a gag about Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a woman there with a child who had the affliction. So she kicked off. Now, I agree wholeheartedly with this article, this commentary, because he basically says comedians are there to be funny.
Yes.
That's their job. The audience, okay... have to have a responsibility. And this is all about being offended and offensiveness and things like that. That if you go somewhere and you're offended, okay, is that reason enough to kick off? Is that reason enough to, you know, maybe call the police or something
well,
like that?
Yeah, it is a difficult question, I think, because if you look at it from the point of view, let's face it, Frankie Boyle, using him as an example, is generally offensive to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't hold back on anyone or any other gag. Most of his jokes have the butt somebody else is at the butt of them at some point in some way.
I don't know. I think he's quite self-deprecating.
I think he's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of Frankie Boyle. I'm a huge fan. I think he's brilliant. But he's very close to the bone. He's very, very... But he spares no one. It's not as if he picks one group of people, like, say, what's his name, the old racist comic, Bernard Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah, who would pick on foreign people and use them as the butt of his joke. He doesn't just pick on one part of society. He picks on all parts, and he's very much a caricature of the whole of society.
I see it as him holding up a mirror, and he's... I think he's just a parody.
It's almost like a social conscience.
Yeah.
You know, I think the woman there would have been laughing at his other gags.
Yeah.
She would have laughed at gags which somebody else would have found equally offensive.
Yeah, and this is where Doug goes with this, okay? Basically, if that woman had been in an audience somewhere else and he told a joke about like Pakistanis or something, okay, and somebody stood up in the audience and started mouthing off, she'd have said, "Oh, look at them kicking off. Shut up."
Exactly.
You know? And so basically, his argument is, if she doesn't care about other people's being offended, then why should the comedian care about offending anybody?
Yes.
And I completely agree with that. How can you go and see... First of all, how can you go and see Frankie Boyle and
absolutely
not expect something like that?
I mean, come on, right? I mean, you know what you're going to get with Frankie Boyle. I mean, okay, even though he is toned down for television when he's on TV and his stage show takes it to the next level, he's still pretty close to the bone on TV. You know, that he pushes the envelope all the way.
Yeah.
So you've got to expect some pretty offensive humour when you go to a Frankie Boyle show.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't find jokes about Down syndrome particularly palatable myself. I'll be honest with you. However, I wouldn't... Knowing what that comedian is like and what he's about, I wouldn't want to go and complain about his gags at the end of the show, because I know when I'm going to expect some things which I may find offensive at some point in that show. So you know what, suck it up, get on with it. I don't find it palatable, I've got to be honest with you,
but
you know, a lot of his humour I do find very, very funny, and I'm sure other people then don't find that palatable.
Yeah.
For instance, you know, I won't repeat the whole joke, but his joke about Princess Diana on Mock the Week a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I found it absolutely hilarious. To be honest with you, I'm sure William and Harry didn't.
No, exactly. But and you're alluding to it, but you just haven't said the words, which is if you just didn't offend, if you didn't say anything offensive, you'd be doing mime.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I've stolen that quote off somebody that was quoting this article. But that's the point: is if you don't, you know, you're always going to offend somebody.
Yeah.
And so that's why I always go, and we've done this before,
but
I defend the absolute freedom of speech, because otherwise...
But you know what, there's an interesting point coming up out of this, actually, because I think we're kind of singing from the same hymn sheet ourselves at the moment.
Mm.
But there was the Top Gear incident over the last week with a joke about the Mexicans.
Now, I don't know what was said. I've only heard about the news that they said something about Mexicans.
Right, I'm going to call up the details now a second. Because actually, I thought... Steve Coogan wrote a response to it, and Steve Coogan's a fan of Top Gear. He's been on the show, but he was very critical of it, and I thought it was a very good response, to be honest with you. But let's just get to what the actual Top Gear presenter said. Let me find it a second. Yeah, basically the presenters implied they were trying out a Mexican car, and I said this Mexican car is everything that you'd expect from a Mexican car. It's lazy, it's feckless, it's flatulent. Basically something food wise was referred to as, like, you know, refried sick, obviously being a refried bean, something like that. Yeah, so here's the quote. Richard Hammond joked that Mexican cars reflected national characteristics, saying they were just going to be lazy, feckless, flatulent, overweight, lean against a fence, asleep, looking at a cactus with a blanket with a hole in the middle on as a coat.
He obviously doesn't know what a poncho is.
No, he doesn't know the word, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, stupid, but hey, you know, there we are.
The irony there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Clarkson said later on, they're not going to get any complaints about the show because at the Mexican embassy, the ambassador is going to be sitting there with a remote control like this, snoring, mock snoring. So, okay, It is a very poor stereotype, because I've got to be honest with you, I would never consider the Mexicans to be like that anyway, personally. Poncho thing, I can see the poncho, but I would never have said particularly that they were...
I think it was more to do with the fact they were being painted as lazy or something, rather than the poncho thing.
Yeah, that is the point I was coming to. But yes, you know, I personally wouldn't see the Mexicans like that. But do the Mexicans have the right to be offended by it? And to complain about it? Because this caused absolute outrage.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not surprised it did. But again, it's...
So, just in the context of what we've been talking about now, exactly. How do we feel about that?
I feel that he's with, you know, if he wants to say it, he can say it. I'm always going to go with the absolute freedom of speech anyway. And you could even go really serious. You could say, what if they'd made a gag saying, this car is like a black person, it's got big rubber lips or something like that, and made really harsh... Is that, would you, you know, what do you think about the Mexicans?
I don't know, you see, this is the point. I'm saying, I think I'm getting into a very grey area here in my own mind as to what I think about this, because if it was an out-and-out racist slur on a black person, like you say, some rubber lips, something like that.
But saying that the whole nation of people are lazy is a racial slur.
Well, of course
well.
It is, and that's what I'm saying.
That's my point.
But, you know, we don't think in those terms, do we, very often?
And to say that the whole nation of people, such as ourselves, are out having sex with sheep as well. You know...
Well, yeah, exactly. But then the point is then, is if Frankie Boyle said that up on stage in his show, and I complained about it, doesn't that make me the same as the woman who complained about the Downs problem?
I think it does. I think it does.
So, I'm trying in my mind to be consistent here.
And I am.
Because I think I don't have a problem with Frankie Boyle making that joke.
The thing is, I would defend going to the black people and the lips, and you know, I'm sure some people cringed when I said that, but I would defend somebody's right to say it. I think they were a dick, just like I thought somebody calling all Mexicans lazy is a dick. However, as usual, I defend their right to say it, because it's just words at the end of the day. And...
But should we allow such words to be spoken? Oh, I know you would say yes, but I'm just thinking, you know, if I was out on the street and I repeated those words, not as in a, because this obviously is clearly intended as a comic slot.
Yeah.
But if I said those words out on the street and I took my lead from those people and I called a Mexican in the street a lazy, flatulent, feckless, whatever, could I be arrested for that with racism?
Possibly.
Like I could if I went into the street and, you
but
know,
people say things
made
like that
racist
all the time.
Slurs against black people.
People say stuff like that all the time. You go down a pub. The pubs, you know, world is full of racism.
I mean, they do it in conversation, but what I mean is, do they, if I was directing it at someone particularly, what would my position be then? I don't know. I'm throwing it out there because I think it's quite interesting where the grey area starts and finishes with freedom of speech.
Well, I mean, for me, you know, for me, the grey area starts with I go further. I go way further. You know, if somebody wants to say that black people are inferior, or they want to say, you know, I'm just trying to think of something really, really horrendous. It doesn't bother me. Because I'm for freedom of speech, because when people say things like that, it's people know about, you know, they know those people, they know what they're saying,
yeah.
And I think it shows them up for what they are. And just trying to hide it and bury it and edit it out. You know, if someone's got something genuinely hateful to say, if you censor them, it just becomes a rumour.
It does, which I see that, but does it not perpetuate racism?
I think racism...
Rather than combating racism, does those sort of comments... As you say, had they said it about a black person and made some sort of comment which is a racial slur against black people or Asian people, would there have been more outrage? For instance, would we have seen those two people... Those three people...
No, yeah, you're right. They
losing their job...
Off. Yeah, they would have, yeah.
Over those slurs... And what makes that any difference to what they said about the Mexicans?
No, and you've just hit the point on the head. And I'm not saying that they're... I'm not changing my position, but what I'm saying is, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head in that if they'd made a slur on blacks, like I had said,
yeah,
they'd have lost their jobs instantly. However, because what they said was akin to talking about Welsh or Australian shagging sheep, or you know, because it's not one of these ones that have been massively blown up in history. I say blown, I don't mean blown
I,
up.
I know exactly what you mean.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's you know, they'd have lost their jobs for sure. In fact, it might have been pulled, you know, they wouldn't have finished recording it.
I mean, let's be honest, that would have been worse than Richard Keys and Andy Gray having their comments about.
No, it's bringing women that lines up as well. I mean, misogyny for me is next to racism.
I totally
count
agree.
It just the same. However,
in their case, I think their punishment was disproportional to what they.
I don't think these people should be arrested and locked up. Okay, I think that the public have a role to play in it. Now, if Top Gear make racist comments, okay, and the public, the ones that pay the tax, the license,
yeah.
Say this is unacceptable, we don't want it, I can't see how the BBC would want to keep them on anyway. So I think the people vote with their conscience and they vote with their morality, and I think people usually,
because you know the argument which is being levelled against the Top Gear presenters, particularly in this case, is that Top Gear is a very massively exported programme.
True, yeah.
It goes, you know, many, many countries around the world. So from the Mexican point of view, and I, you know, this is the thing, I can see where the Mexicans are coming from here. For them, it damages them potentially around the world, because they're being portrayed by a massive broadcasting corporation as being lazy, feckless, fatulent, etc.
Yeah, and also what you've got to remember is, as an organisation, the BBC is probably becomes within the remit of, because it's funded by the public,
yeah.
So it's almost taxpayers, for them to be giving a platform to racist comments, you could argue that therefore they are within their right to say, you know, you can't say these things on BBC,
mm-hmm.
because it's you know, considered, it's not within.
But, you know, once the BBC have apologised to Mexico for it and to the ambassador,
mm-hmm.
they haven't been censured for it.
Well, you know, I.
So, you know, I guess where I'm coming to with this is, where do we draw the line? You know, we say, we sat here and that we both agreed. We've got a lady who's gone to see Frankie Boyle. Frankie Boyle's made a joke about Down syndrome. She's complained and kicked up a hell of a fuss about it.
Mm.
And we both say, well, actually, do you know what? Suck it up, lady, because it's not very nice. It may not be palatable to us, but actually, that's what you expect to get.
Yeah.
Now, I would argue that watching Top Gear, you would expect to get some near-to-the-bone comments along this line. So, where do we draw the line? Do we say that the Top Gear comments should be accepted for the same reason as we're accepting Frankie Boyle's comments on Down syndrome? Or are we actually saying, no, the Mexicans have a right to be outraged, but on that same flip side by saying that, so too does the woman with the Downs?
No, this is how I draw the line, and you'll probably agree with it when I say it, is that they have a right to say whatever they want. I'm not going to deny them that, okay? However, we should not pay for them to have the platform to say it, okay? There's a distinction there, okay? If Jeremy Clarkson wants to walk up and down a high street somewhere shouting racial slurs, I believe he's within his right to do it, and it's his own career that will suffer. However, I don't think that license payers or taxpayers should pay for those people to have a platform. So therefore, if they do say those things, I think we're fair to say you shouldn't be on air. Frankie Wood is different.
Excuse me.
People pay to go and see him.
So what if Top Gear was on ITV?
Maybe ITV should be the ones with the close to the bone stuff. But people will vote with their feet. And they will boycott.
But the point is, let's be brutally honest. The point is, this Top Gear hasn't been damaged by this, because the type of people who watch Top Gear, actually, generally, would probably find that amusing.
So it's a case of people complaining who didn't actually see it. They just heard about it and then they went and complained after. You know, is that going to be the case?
Potentially, yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm never going to censor anybody. I would put forward a case saying that the taxpayer or license fees payers shouldn't be paying for something like that. You know, they need to justify it. So no. And if Frankie Boyle went on the BBC, you know, the BBC commissioned him to have a programme and he just came on and just did, I don't know, Pakistani gags or something, I would say no.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he shouldn't say it or he can't say it. I'm saying we shouldn't be paying for this. But that's the only distinction I draw is, you know, who's paying for it. Apart from that, they can say whatever they want, no matter how offensive.
Fair enough.
You didn't say whether you agree with that. I mean, no,
I'm still unclear in my mind, to be honest with you. Because, like I said, personally, on initial reaction, I would say...
I know the current law says that if I walk down the street now and I made some racial slurs, especially against black people, I would get arrested. I think that is not... I don't agree
with it. It's not consistent law, though, is it? Because, you know, you could say it about Mexicans.
The street and say English tossers or whatever if you're a Welsh and I hate the English or something, that's perfectly acceptable. That's why I don't agree. I think the law's inconsistent.
From my point of view, I'd say it's a grey area still in my mind because I think the woman who's gone to see Frankie Boyle has taken it too far.
Yeah. She has a responsibility.
Yeah. I think, on the flip side, in my mind, actually the president, also the ambassador, the Mexican ambassador, has got a right to feel affronted by the comments that Top Gear have made. So it's kind of, just finding that consistency in my own mind.
No, really. I mean, I don't think he does. He doesn't pay the license fee. At least we pay that, and we can say, I don't want to pay for this.
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, this program's getting broadcast around the world.
But the thing
so
is,
people in other countries are paying for it.
There's so many things that offend me, and yet there's no way in hell that they're going to change.
No, absolutely not. And I'm not suggesting that they should change, but I am suggesting that actually the ambassador has got a right to feel affronted by it.
Well, no, everyone has a right to be offended.
And to comment on it, to ask for an apology.
Well, you can ask all you want.
Because it is racism at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And for exactly the same reasons as Top Gear wouldn't make those comments about a black person, they shouldn't make those comments about a Mexican person.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just one person, it was the whole of Mexico they made the comment about.
But then we fall foul of something which is kind of weird, because I'm Welsh, but I watched Room 101 a few years ago where they interviewed Anne Robinson.
Like I said, I'm trying to rationalise it in my head. This is my personal feeling at the moment. I'm not clear on it, because the same with you, Room 101, do you know what I mean? Anne Robinson was quite disparaging towards the Welsh. I didn't particularly find what she had to say funny.
Oh, I did. I laughed my ass off.
To be honest with you. But, you know, I wasn't that offended by it that I wanted to go down, burn down their house like some people did.
But, yeah, as I said, but you've got to take a position on it, you know, and instead of drawing arbitrary lines, I prefer to say, you know, okay, just because this thing that they say makes me feel emotional and I think that they shouldn't say it, doesn't mean I think they should be stopped from saying it. And so that's why I go for this position where, even though I find it highly offensive, somebody came and disparaged anyone. And I come across it all the time. You know, Lady Boisai... When she said something about that there's this anti-Islam sentiment, etc.
Yes, yeah. When she's talking about the dinner party.
Yeah, yeah. I think she was doing... She had a bit of persecution complex going on there, but that's a completely different story. However, she had a point in so much that there is such a thing as acceptable intolerance.
Yes.
And then there is unacceptable intolerance. And personally, I think, you know... I think intolerance is bad.
Yeah, well, you know, she did have a point, and it's very, very rare I find myself agreeing with Baroness Varzi, to be honest with you, because she is terrible. But actually, she kind of had a point, because I kind of get fed up myself of the rhetoric which we see day in, day out of extremists, and it's always Muslim extremists. It's always Islamists. Mm. It's always, you know, Muslim extremists. There very much is an agenda there. Where it's acceptable to keep going about that. We don't hear so much in the news these days of the white extremists.
Well, not just that, just looking at some of the wars that have happened in Europe, you know, you never heard about the Christian militants or extremists.
Let's look at Louis Theroux's documentary when he went into the wilds of America, speaking to the nutters up there and the local militias and everything. You know, he went up there and there were people up there who were as extremist and as full of hate as any Islamic extremist. But we don't ever focus on them. We only ever focus on the Islam, because there's been clear boundaries set out that the war in terror, or the war on terror, is a war against Islamic extremists.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Not actually a war on terror.
Well, I think the reason that we don't focus on that, and maybe we do focus on other extremists a bit more in the UK, not much, but in America, you got to remember that the extremists up
Rule the
there
country.
are the ones that are in the majority. You
Yeah.
know, Fox News is owned.
Well, precisely, and that's what I mean. You know, it's just I find it very unpalatable again that you know we have this constant attack on Islam. But you know, don't get me wrong, I have no truck with extremists whatsoever. But likewise,
Well, I do. I have a truck with extremists.
but likewise, you know the rhetoric which comes out quite often uses tones and terms which groups all Muslims together.
Yeah, and I always fight against that, and that's why I was always what we both agreed about this Ground Zero mosque, how the Americans were saying that it was not right for Muslims to have a mosque, even if it was at Ground Zero. Now we
Yeah.
know it wasn't actually there and all that, but even at Ground Zero, they didn't have the right to do it because it made a mockery of the dead. And I'm saying, well, what you're doing there is you're lumping all Muslims in with the
Yeah,
extremists.
exactly.
And we said it was completely asinine. However, the thing I have a problem with, and this is coming from, and I know what Lady Wasai is like, she had a valid point. However, I know she means something more,
Yeah,
an
absolutely, I agree
overreaching,
with you.
and I think that there is valid criticism of Islam that people want to would like to suppress as well.
Yes, no, I agree with you there. That you know, certain aspects of Islam should be criticised, just as certain aspects of Christianity should be criticised. You know, the homosexual bishops, the women bishops, that deserves to be ridiculed, in much the same way as the way women are treated within Islam.
But it's just the way, the same way that the EDL sort of tar all Muslims the same way, okay, the same as extremists. I think that's wrong. I'm also very wary of people that want to stigmatize criticism of religion at or
Yeah.
anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the middle. Did you didn't watch the interview with the leader of the EDL on Paxman?
No, I didn't actually. I
I
didn't
can't
know it was
remember the
on.
guy's name.
I
The
didn't
guy
actually know
had
it was on.
balls, to be fair.
Yeah, well,
He went
after going
on
to meet
there.
Paxman, fair play.
He went on and he made some valid points, which was quite interesting. But he was playing a very he's playing the intellectual card. He was just talking
Like the
about
Griffin, isn't it?
yeah, he was just talking about Islam in his extreme form and how it was wrong. And he even made reference to the Quran and how, you know, there wasn't any much good in it, which
Yeah.
I personally agree with that statement. But it doesn't change the fact that you go and watch these EDL marches, and most of what's been shouted is not
Intelligent.
intelligent
No.
whatsoever. It's just racist, and it's just let's get rid of the brown people. And so, you know, the EDL are not credible like that.
No.
And so,
And that's exactly the same as the BNP. Because Nick Griffin
tried to.
could come across as being credible. But you know, there's elements within his party who don't have that same credibility or intelligence.
I mean, he comes across to me, Nick Griffin now, he
Yeah.
comes across as, I think he's misguided. When he's talking, he comes across as just someone who's misguided. Because he just comes across as someone who doesn't have all the facts, because he's talking about immigration.
Yeah.
However, you know the underlying thing has nothing to do with immigration and everything to do with racism.
Yes, agreed.
So, yeah, you're right, it's quite a similar thing.
Just to see what you think about this one. It's a little bit of a lighter story because you know you've got heavy topics tonight. A burger ban begins at Forest Green Football Club. Burgers and sausages have been banned from being sold to fans at Forest Green Rovers Football Club by its vegan chairman, Dale Vince. How do we feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, so what part has he
Well,
played in
basically,
this?
he has put. To read the full article, a ban on red meat was introduced for players at the Blue Square Bet Premier Club a few weeks ago, and now the policy has been extended to the whole stadium. So, in all fairness, he's not putting veganism on everyone. He's banned red meat.
Are you serious? I haven't
Serious.
seen the story. Is this real?
No, this is real. I'm reading this from the BBC website.
So what you're saying is a guy's taken over,
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah, well, he's been at the club for a while, I would imagine. But he has banned players from eating red
Okay,
meat.
what is his rationale behind it? Does it say?
Well, he's a vegan.
Is that the only reason? Yeah, he's so basically he's enforcing his own morality.
He's
on
a
people.
vegan, and he is banned red meat throughout the stadium. He banned it for the players first of all. So obviously, when, I presume when the players are at home eating their own food, they can do whatever they want. But that, when they're at work, they can't eat red meat or sausages, which isn't red meat. But you know, there we go. But free-range poultry and fish from sustainable stocks will continue to be served. Following discussions with the manager on nutritional advice, it was decided to no longer feed our team red meat for health and performance reasons. It has now been decided this policy should be extended to the stadium, at least in part as a further step in establishing ourselves as a green organisation.
So they're saying that, alright, basically they're going with it takes X number of carbon units and water to bring up a cow, so they're doing it green.
I guess so. I mean, that's as much as it's got on there, really.
Okay, well, on that, I will go with, again, people are going to vote with their feet, and they, you know...
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? You know, they're still giving organic chicken and sustainable fish. Why can't they be more creative with their use of a cow?
Well, no, because...
I appreciate the fact, right, with cows, that we waste an awful lot of meat off a cow.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should take a bit more of a nose-to-tail approach to how we eat our food. So why can't they get more creative with the cuts of meat that they use and actually use more of the cow in the formation of the burgers?
I don't know. I think they use pretty much everything.
Well, they probably do, because let's be honest, burgers aren't particularly nutritionally sound, are they?
Yeah, but they taste good.
But they taste good, exactly. But, you know, what I'm saying is, if they can use free-range chickens, if they can use free-range cows... fish or sustainable fish, surely there is a way of making sustainable burgers or low impact burgers.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not an economist,
because the carbon to water ratio breaks down because we only use certain parts of the cow.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not an economist, so maybe, you know, a bit of research into that might be worthwhile. But the I don't have a problem with saying we're only going to sell this in the stadium. That's up to them. And people will bring their own food.
But quite often people aren't allowed to take food into stadiums, are they? I don't know what it's like at Forest Green. They might be allowed to.
I mean, what's going to happen there is, you know, if they turn people away, then they're going to become a cropper. However, I'm concerned about them saying what employees can and can't eat. I think... I'm surprised that there's not something already in place moaning about that. I think it's all it's going to take is one employee, a player or whatever to...
But, you know, I thought red meat was nutritional.
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about, nutrition. I mean, it's packed with protein if it's a good cut.
Yeah.
It's not full of fat or anything. But I don't think it's an employer's place to say what you can and can't eat.
Well, like I said, I would say I'm sure outside of work they're able to eat whatever they want. But when they're training and being fed... In training, they're not being fed any red meat.
No, what I mean is, if you had a canteen and they're eating,
yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it works like that with football players, though, because I think football, I believe, because of the high performance of football players, then they are fed nutritionally packed food. So I don't think it's like walking up to the canteen and going, "I had Doris, I'll have pie, chips, and gravy today." I think they're given a set meal
by the club.
By the club, which has been set up by nutritionalists.
But, well, the thing I'd be interested in is it being motivated by a nutritional thing, or has it been motivated by some other ideology? It would be interesting. I think that's a court battle waiting to happen, to be honest.
Possibly,
with people
yeah.
in the stadium, that sounds ideological to me.
Yeah.
But I think they're within their right to do it. But people will vote with their feet. Okay. I've done all my stories.
Yeah, I've done mine as well.
So we're going to go and watch telly now. We're hopefully going to be back next week. It's going to be highly experimental. I'm going to post something on the blog and on the Facebook about this.
Yeah.
Probably over the weekend.
We'll tweet something as well.
Yeah, watch this space. And I'm going to try and get this edited before the rugby on Saturday. Before I watch the rugby and start drinking. So
I think maybe you just need to put it up raw, to be honest with you, John. You know, just so people can get an idea of what it's really what they're in for next week.
No, I got to listen to it a bit. It's looking good. It's looking good on the sound levels, but we'll see. Anyway, thanks guys for listening. I hope we haven't bored you too much this week. It's going to get so interesting. But thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
See ya.